Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. Good morning to you. Doug Gottlieb, TJ Hushmanzada. This is the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. What a day we got for you in sports. Obviously, we had NBA basketball last night. You got a little college hoops today. You got three NFL games, and you have a two-time Pro Bowler in TJ Hushmanzada to break them all down for you. Welcome, welcome, welcome in. TJ, did you ever play on Thanksgiving?
Absolutely not. It's the same teams, the Cowboys, the Lions, and whomever they play. And so they normally always make that either a division game or a conference game. So absolutely not, but always practice. Like, it's 11 o'clock East Coast time. Guys are practicing. Some guys probably started practice at 10, some at 9, but everybody's out there practicing. Every single team that isn't playing today, they're practicing as we speak.
Yeah, in college basketball, you practice. If you don't play, like, you don't play. Now, there's a lot more Thanksgiving tournaments than there used to be. You practice in the morning, and then, like, when I was at Notre Dame, we went to a coach's house. When I was at Oklahoma State, we'd go to the country club, and my coach's late wife, Patsy Sutton, she'd come in the locker room or come to practice like 2 weeks before and pass out like a paper where everybody got to write down your favorite dish, and then whoever made it for you at home's numbers, like your mom or your grandma or your dad or your grandpa, whatever, whoever cooked it for you, like, well, I want that. You know how some people have that, what's that purple kind of casserole-y sort of thing that people, somebody will tweet us at Gottlieb Show.
Yeah, I don't eat casserole.
Yeah, but it was like a purple marshmallow something jello-y, I don't know. But like, we had somebody get that, and we had dudes be like, I want mac and cheese, but I want it like how my mom makes it. I want greens, but I want it how my grandma makes it. Anyway, that's how they would get. They would get the recipe, and then they give the recipe to the chefs, and they try and match it. It was kind of cool. But
yeah,
you practice
nice.
In the morning, you'd eat, and then you're like, hey, let's come back and practice tonight. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. It was not productive at all after eating all that food. Not productive at all.
I mean, for us in the NFL, it was – the coach would always have you practice in the morning so that you can spend Thanksgiving with your family. For the most part, you're done pretty early. You won't watch the practice film of practice today. You'll do that tomorrow. And so that's why you kind of get out of there early. So tomorrow will be a little longer than normal, because Friday, if you play on Sunday, as normally, you get out fairly early, but not tomorrow, because although he's giving you a break today, you're going to make it up tomorrow.
So then you go home, and then do you always watch the games? Or were you still, you know, once you started to have a family, was it too much family time to even watch what else is going on?
No, you missed part of the first game. Oh, no. I'm watching every game. Doug, I just love football, man.
And no, I know you do now. I'm talking about as a player.
Oh, as a player. Yeah. Like that love for football was created before I got to the league, stayed with me. But yeah, I would watch the games. Family, if we got family over, we're watching a game. We may play some spades, some pity pats, some tonk or whatever, dominoes, whatever it may be. But we're watching a game for sure.
This is the weirdest experience I ever had. This goes back my first year living in Connecticut. I just moved up there. We were in a town called Burlington, Connecticut. And my neighbors, I remember we moved into a house and we didn't have, it was the first time I'd ever heard of a counter depth refrigerator. I moved in like no fridge, like no big deal. We'll bring up our fridge. I was moving up from Oklahoma City and like, yeah, you need a counter depth fridge. And we had to order it like special or whatever. So we had like we borrowed my neighbor's fridge for like a month, and it was just me and my wife. And I remember we're sitting there like, what are we gonna do in Thanksgiving? We can't get a turkey in there. And our neighbors were nice enough to invite us to Thanksgiving dinner. So we walk over to their house, right? I don't know if we baked something or something. And I remember we were talking and drinking for like an hour and a half. And I was like, hey, you guys going to throw the game on? And I'd never heard this before. They're like, what game? Excuse me?
Wow.
Excuse me? What game? Like, huh?
There are actually people that exist that don't know that it's really.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Like, Thanksgiving, not even as much as Super. Remember, Super Bowl, 150 million people watch. That means 150 million people don't watch. Right. And that's the other part to it is there are people that don't watch.
It's so baffling to me that people don't watch sports. Like, that is really, are you even watching TV? And if you are, what are you
watching?
You
have a lot more free time. You have a lot more free time than the rest of us do. Right. On weekends. Cause you know, like you got kids and sports and then you watch sports on like, what else?
Take away from sports being extremely fun. Like, it's so fun to play.
Yes.
The lessons that you learn that you don't realize you're learning, the way you communicate with people that come from so many different backgrounds, so different than you. I mean, it teaches you so many lessons, how to fight through adversity, how to handle your wins, your losses, setbacks. It's just so many things you learn from sports that it's the best. It's nothing like it. Nothing like it.
Nothing like it at all. Let's get to one of the stories of the day, which is LeBron James goes off last night, plays really well. No Anthony Davis. They come from behind, force overtime. Or actually, they had to lead and Indy forced overtime. Indy's just gotten healthy, and they're playing much better of late. Goes to overtime. LeBron ends up with 39 points and kind of wins the game seemingly on his own in terms of his own scoring. But one of the stories with LeBron is going to be that he had a fan ejected. Now, 39, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and they outscored the Pacers 12-4 in overtime. But the big question is why LeBron had two fans removed. Because if you've seen the highlights by now, it wasn't like I heard something over here. It was him and her. They're out. Here's LeBron after the game.
LeBron, what can you share about that interaction with the fan, what they did, or what was uncomfortable for you?
I mean, nothing is uncomfortable for me, but, you know, it's a difference between cheering on your home faithful, you know, booing opponents and things of that nature, or not wanting your opponents to be successful. And then there's, you know, moments where it goes outside the line with obscene gestures and words. And that shouldn't be tolerated in our game from nobody. I would never say it to a fan, and a fan should never say it to a player. So That's it.
Okay, so
LeBron,
so the
what
question,
can you share about that?
So TJ, now that you've heard LeBron's response, which is he didn't want to share the magic words, and my case for LeBron is threefold, right? Like, look, to me, this completely de-escalates without having to be, like, you don't have to be confrontation. You just go, him and her, out. And if you look at the ticket, they have the right to kick you out anytime you want. I think it's a good deterrent for other fans. I honestly think as a guy who's as respected as anyone who's ever played in the league, like, it's a good, like, hey, dude, don't need to get into it with these people. If something gets to the level of being over the line, just kick him out and let's move on. Let's play ball. But here's the biggest thing. When he pointed to the dude and the woman, they both had like matching leather jackets or whatever. You could tell they were together. If I ever get to that point where matching, shoot me. But they didn't put up a fight. They weren't pointing no, it wasn't me. What are you talking? They didn't do the hands point palms toward to the sky. Like, what are you talking about? They were just like, yeah, you got us. Sorry. Put on her jacket, walked out. Okay. So now you've heard the sound. You've heard my case. Do you support LeBron James kicking these people out?
I need to know what was said. Like, fans are fans of their team. What could they have said that set him off to where the other fans didn't say, hey guys, you guys might want to chill out. Like, chill out. What? Why are you saying this? And so I just... One, how much did they pay for those tickets? Two, they did pretty much see the majority of the game. I just would like to know what was said, but LeBron doesn't, we haven't seen this happen where a player literally just, well, I want these two. And so whatever they said really got under his skin. It really bothered him to the point where he was like, I'm not dealing with this any longer. Can these people be ejected? And so for that matter, I do agree with it, but I would like to know what was said, because as a fan, you're cheering for your team. You're going to say, number one, you think they had a couple of adult beverages or maybe more than a couple. And so that messed their judgment up and they say certain things that they shouldn't have said. And so that's what I would like to know, because you don't want to start setting a precedent that if a fan is going at you cheering on their team and it may go overboard, are they going to get kicked out? Are they not supposed to say anything to the player? If that's the case, let's move these seats back a little further so they don't have that access where they're really up on the players that way. And so I think that's unique about the NBA is the fans are so close to the players.
I look, and that's part of the sale, right? And that's what makes them a lot of money, is that you can see them. And there are some Twitter speculation that it was about Bronny, whatever. But here's the deal, okay? Fans, I get that they're fanatics. I get that they pay a lot of money. But there are a lot of people that go to a game, and if you sit in the stands, you're like, I cannot believe the things that you're saying. I can't say it to, like, you know, we've seen the fight videos. Like, what is the matter with people? You know, I remember I've done games. Last year we had to broadcast. I did the Big Ten tournament. We had to broadcast from, like, you're like up, you're not on the court level. So you're up, we're up, like, it was in the new Indy Dome, whatever that's, I can't remember what that's called. And you're like up basically in and amongst the fans, and you'll have people yelling out things. You're like, what are you doing? Why would you, how would you ever, and there's people around and they're kind of uncomfortable too, but you just, I understand what you're saying, TJ. I'm just telling you, like, Bill Burr is a great comedian, right? He had the bit about the Malice of the Palace. And the idea of the bit was, hey, how many years had you heard guys go like, come up here, why don't you come up here? Well, Ron Artest came up there and knocked out an entire row of people with one punch, right? Like, fans on some level have it coming, right? And, like, I get it. Like, you hear something, you're like, you know what? I'm done. Do I think LeBron is super sensitive? Yeah. But, and do I think the idea of, like, you can't talk about my family, and if it was
but
about.
But you know what, though, Doug? LeBron has been getting this his entire career.
Doesn't make it okay.
Because he's been the man. And so that's why I'm saying, like, is it as he's getting older, he's going to tolerate less? Because, I mean, Ron Artest, he stuff was thrown on him. It is, as LeBron has played so many years, has his patience, I'm tired, I'm not dealing with this anymore.
Yes.
Or that they really overstepped their boundaries.
I think he's gotten older, and I think it's that he's seen it probably crank up. I think the Russell thing puts everybody kind of on edge a little bit. Plus, you're coming off that Detroit thing. I think it's like kind of all factored in. And people just, you know, they have a couple sips of beer. They're sitting real close. They think they can yell anything to you. My deal is, if they didn't say anything wrong, if I paid a grand for a ticket to see LeBron James, I don't care if there's 5 seconds left to go, whatever, and somebody comes and says, kick me out, like, yo, I didn't say anything wrong, I would have put up a major fight.
Hey,
they
how
didn't
much
put
you think those courtside
fight.
Tickets cost in Indy? How much you think they cost?
They are not cheap.
So about
$1,000
LeBron
James,
or
the one time he, yeah, more than that.
About $2,500?
I mean, that was like mid-court, feet on the wood, right? It's like my buddies the pumps say, like, it ain't on the wood, it ain't no good, right? Feet on the wood. You're definitely paying at least four figures for each seat to sit there. My guess is probably mid four figures, right? Like over $1,000, maybe over $2,000.
That will be a warning to all, as
That's
you would
what I'm saying.
Say, if it ain't on the wood, it ain't no good. Shut your mouth, enjoy the game. Just watch what you say. Just watch what you say. But I don't want to take away from I enjoyed it when I could go back and forth with a fan. It just made it fun. When you lost, it's like, and when you win, it's like,
Yeah, but I actually do feel a little bit of sympathy for LeBron, because if he doesn't say anything, you just got to sit there and take it. But if he does say anything, and like, that's his right to just go, hey, you and you out. I like that a lot better than Russell's confrontation with dudes. Like, that is not going to end well. Like, there's no reason. Like, you have the power. Just goodbye. And it's a good one. Okay, what about the team? Do you like this the Lakers as they're currently comprised?
Man, I don't like the way we're playing, Doug. Man, it just, God, it's, we're not playing good. We're not playing good defensively. We don't help the helper. Guys will get a jump. It'll be a guy right there, and you can just contest a shot even though he's not your guy. We kind of just sit and watch. We don't box out. The offense doesn't flow the way it should when LeBron isn't playing. When Russ is playing well, we're good. But when he's not and LeBron isn't playing, it's AD's going to settle for jump shots. And if we're hitting jump shots, we're good. But we're not really going to the hole. Like, we play Milwaukee. I was just like, AD, you can do everything that Giannis does. Go do this. But he doesn't have the mentality that Giannis has. He doesn't have that dog in him that Giannis has. And so we have a long ways to go. We got to get better defensively. Offense is going to come and go. Defense needs to be constant.
You know, there's a couple of things there. First, it should be pointed out to people who go like, see, LeBron's still the best player in the league. Like, have you seen what Giannis has been doing all season long? Right? Like, LeBron was great last night. Giannis has basically been doing that the entire season. And the guy is it's your level of consistency when you're able to be the best player in the league. And Giannis and KD have been more consistent. Obviously, they've been out there more as well. Now, in terms of the Lakers, like, look, I don't know how much more clear it can be to people who are watching, but you got rid of your two best perimeter defenders, right? One's playing, you got KCP turned in. They made KCP into a dog defensively. He became a very good, and then Alex Caruso. And no matter how hard it looks like Russell Westbrook plays, he's not a great defensive player. He takes lots of plays off, though he's just not a spring chicken. He's had four knee surgeries. Not that guy, nor has he ever been as consistently good defensively. But look, the Lakers are not whole. You know, you don't have Ariza. You've had injuries as well to some of your bench players, and you haven't had LeBron. I think they'll be better offensively, but I think defensively, unless they add a piece or two, I don't see how they guard better on the perimeter. LeBron's not that guy anymore. I think Ariza, they think, is going to be the defender he was a decade ago. He's not. And the options that they have, like a Russell Westbrook and a Malik Monk and others, while they're good players and maybe better offensively than Caruso, They you lose that, it completely changes your identity, and that's where they're going through trying to figure out what they are, because when they won a championship 2 years ago, they were a defensive menace. Now they got to be more of an offensive team to beat you.
We, and also, you got DeAndre Jordan, you got Dwight Howard in the middle. It clogs up the hole in the paint. We just got to figure out who we are. When you look at the teams that are good here, it's that defense. Jump shots, when we're making them, we're the best team. And when we're not, it's like, we have to play defense. Like when Carmelo's on, offensively, we're hard to beat. But it's the defense. Like we're up by 20-some points against Oklahoma City. Lose. That's defense. Those are the type of games that come back and haunt you when you lose the teams early in the season that you should beat. And now you're playing in the play-in game when you shouldn't have to play in the play-in game had you won those games you're supposed to win. And so this defense, and Frank Vogel is a defensive coach. We got to get it together.
TJ Husbandzada joining me. Plaxico Burress is going to join us upcoming in about 15 minutes. Okay, we'll have some star wide receiver talk. But coming up next, Mike Vrabel acknowledges some similarities between a team he played on and a team he's seeing and is going to see this weekend, the NFL. Who is it? Find out next. The Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Poppy.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0. Winner, chicken dinner, homie.
The Immaculate Reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
TJ Osmanzada, Doug Gottlieb, and for Dan and the Danettes and the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing. The Titans play the Patriots this weekend. Titans are weird year, right? Obviously, you lose Derrick Henry, you're not going to be the same, but four picks for Ryan Tannehill. But to beat the teams they've beaten and then to lose to the Jets and the Texans is, I mean, that's some rarefied air right there. But anyway, Braves taking on the Patriots, his old team that he played for, and he said this, quote, "I think there are similarities this between his the Patriots team this year and the 2001 Patriots team that won the Super Bowl. Obviously, there's a lot of history there with one particular quarterback, Tom Brady, and I think you're starting to see some of those plays start to look like they looked in the past. Max did a nice job of executing, proving what it is they want him to do. It's what they're asking him to do. I'd say he has a strong grasp of what they're doing now. If I remember, TJ, when you were a rookie with the Bengals, you guys played against the Pats, but Bledsoe was still the quarterback, right?
We won. No. Bledsoe, no, I believe Brady was a quarterback. Brady came in to start.
Brady came in after, it was the week after.
No, it was week two, Bledsoe was.
But you forget that they had September 11th and then it was shut down. I know this because this is a true story, and I want your true story in a second. So my first gig hosting a national radio show was that Sunday. Okay, so I want you to picture this. I'm in Oklahoma City. I'm still playing. Okay, I played a year in Russia. I come back. I'm doing local radio in Oklahoma City just to pay some bills. And a buddy of mine, Jim Traber, he's the color analyst for the Diamondbacks. So Diamondbacks were good. So I was filling in for him while he's gone, waiting for an overseas gig. Then 9/11 happens. And so everything, you know, usually you leave to go play overseas in September and go in training. Everything got pushed back like a month and a half. So that next weekend, if you remember, everything was shut down. No games, no nothing. And then the following weekend, we had games. Well, ESPN Radio wanted to bring everybody into Bristol to do the shows. And the overnight show, which I was a guest on when I was a player, was called Todd Wright All Night. And Todd didn't want to get on a plane, didn't want to, whatever. I don't know. He was off that weekend or whatever. So they flew me in. I flew through Cincinnati from Oklahoma City to Cincinnati. There were three. I saw three other travelers in the airport. The rest were all National Guard with dogs or National Guard with machine guns. Land, go to Bristol, and then I got to watch football games. So I go to a place called Sliders where you get wings. Place is packed. Bledsoe gets hit trying to go out of bounds, right? Mo
Collins.
Mo Collins.
It's a linebacker.
It was a linebacker for the Jets, but it wasn't Mo Collins. I'll think of it in a second. Anyway, he hits Bledsoe. I go on the air, TJ. Mo Lewis hits him.
Yes.
And Bledsoe was like, it was one of those where he was getting out of bounds. Like, dude, you got to get out of bounds quick. And he kind of let up before he got out of bounds. And I mean, he got hit so hard his dog probably got hurt, right? So in goes Brady, and I'm the idiot on national radio. First ever radio show ever. Where I was like, well, the Pats are, you can cross them off. They're done this year, right? Turns out that was a bit wrong. Anyway, go ahead. Tell me your Patriots story of that season.
When you play the Patriots, obviously we played them 2001, number one, I was inactive. And so you don't really put too much stock in it. Obviously it's my first NFL game. So you're excited. Then when you realize you're inactive, you really don't know how the inactives and actives work. You just assume you're on the team. You're going to suit up. And then you're going to your locker room and you're like, wait, why don't I have no jersey on my shoulder pads? You don't really understand that you're not suiting up. And so it's like, they have to, because you practice all week. And so that was the first. You just didn't understand the active and inactive. And to this day, I'll never get why you're on the team and everybody is not allowed to suit up. I don't understand that. That's a rule that I don't understand. If you're on the team, you should be able to suit up and play. But I digress. But I don't remember a ton from that game. because I wasn't playing. But I do remember us winning the game. I do remember the Patriots not starting well as a team that season and then going on to win the Super Bowl. The Patriots this year did not start well. I don't believe they'll go on and win the Super Bowl. But when you look at the comparisons from what Vrabel was talking about, you can say, oh, okay, yeah, I can see, you know, they're 1-3 after the first quarter of the season. You're like, oh, yeah, Belichick done messed up and drafted Mac Jones, and then they reel off all these wins because in 2001 they were also 1-3. And so those comparisons are fair because record-wise is very similar. And now the Patriots are on a 5-game win streak. And before they won a Super Bowl, they finished the season with 5 wins in a row and then went into the playoffs. And it just kept rolling. And so similarities, I record-wise, it's there. They play great defense. They don't turn the ball over. Mac Jones is taking what the defense gives him. Vrabel, you see the similarities. You want to make sure that you're not on that list of victims. Because the Tennessee, they're record-wise, they're a good team. But I don't really look at them as a – when you tell me – if you ask me who would I pick to go to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, I'd name 4 or 5 teams before I name the Titans. And so –
Even if they
record.
Have Derrick Henry back?
Yeah, even if they have Derrick Henry back, because he's going to have been out for so long that him coming back, you're not going to be in shape. You got to knock that rust off. He's going to miss too much of the season, for him to come back and make a big impact.
TJ Hushmanzada, Doug Gottlieb, and for Dan and the Danettes and the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so if you don't like Tennessee and it's in the AFC – and you've said, like, look, even Kansas City's offense is not what it should be right now. Who do you like?
I mean, when you sit here and right now, you know, and I guess I'm living in the moment. I like the way the Colts are playing on both sides of the ball. When Lamar Jackson is in that lineup, obviously you like the Ravens, and then the Kansas City Chiefs. I was really high on the Bills. I don't know what's going on the way the coach just went in there and, oh, smacked them. It wasn't even a ball game. It was an embarrassment, really, to be honest with you. And so those would be the three teams, Baltimore, Kansas City, and Indy, that you say, I could see those teams. I just can't see Tennessee without Derrick Henry making a run in the playoffs. I just don't. I mean, you talked about this earlier, how Stafford threw 4 picks in 2 games. He gave that game to Tennessee. Tennessee had nothing offensively. Yeah, they took the game, but offensively, they didn't do much against the Rams. And so I just don't see Tennessee being that type of team. And so they would fall in my 5 or 6. I would probably, if Baker's healthy, put Cleveland in front of them, because I believe Cleveland's defense would be able to slow Tennessee's offense down.
Yeah, I just don't know if they'll get to that point of being actually in the playoffs. That's the problem with the talent is there for the Browns, but they just haven't been able to put it all together. All right, so speaking of the Bills, right? Like, this is you're playing a completely depleted New Orleans team today. Like, there's just feels like no should be no excuses for not. What's the matter with the Bills? Is Josh Allen not as good as we thought?
This is it's odd to me. I'm not going to say Josh Allen isn't as good as we thought. I believe Josh Allen is a stud. He's just not playing the way he played last year. Like, he was so lights out last year, Doug. It was like almost scary how good he was playing. And the thought that he could get better and would be better, it was like, wow, if Josh Allen improves, he's going to be a perennial MVP candidate every single year. They're just not playing well. I thought going into the season, where was the pass rush going to come from? They almost play how Kansas, they don't want to run the ball. They don't try to run the ball. And it's hurting them. But Buffalo has been a surprise for me in a bad way. I thought they would be much better than what they are. I thought that division would go through them.
Yeah. Let's bring in Plaxico Burress, who joins us. Of course, you can hear Plax with LeVar Arrington and TJ Hushmanzada each Saturday, noon to 2 Eastern time. Plus, you can download it. It's called Up on Game as a podcast. Plax, let me go with I think the biggest game is Rams-Packers this Sunday. The Rams lose Robert Woods but gain Odell Beckham Jr. But my thing about OBJ is he's more talented than Robert Woods, but he's not a little things guy like Robert Woods is. Can you make OBJ or somebody into a little things guy? Because they already have Cooper Kupp. They already have other people who do the big things.
Man, you know what? I love Robert Woods, man. Hey, first of all, happy Thanksgiving to you guys, man. You know, you guys out there putting that work in early morning. I'm preparing this bird to drop it in some grease, a little fried turkey this Thanksgiving.
Hey, Plex is the chef, Doug.
Come on, man.
Plex is the chef.
Hold on, Plex. I'm cooking too now. I'm smoking a bird outside.
Oh, you smoking one? Oh yeah. Man, I had mine in a 24-hour brine, man, with some salt, some peppercorns, some bay leaves, apples, oranges, and that's how I do it over here. But yeah. Just getting it in. But yeah, man, I love Robert Woods, man. I think bringing him in, bringing OBJ in to join that offense, it's only going to make him better. And, even though he's down, I think the more that OBJ gets in rapport with the offense and Matthew Stafford, we talked about this last week, myself, TJ. I'm picking the Rams to come out of the NFC. I really am. I think they are that talented on offense, especially with the addition of Von Miller on defense. I think they're going to be special. But, you know, it all depends on how fast OBJ can pick up this playbook. And, you know, it's a good start for him, good offense. And I'm really expecting for the Rams to go through the roof.
We talking Rams in the NFC. When we were just discussing the AFC, what team do you like or teams do you like, and who's been a surprise disappointment?
You know what? Surprise disappointment for me, obviously when Derrick Henry went down, you know, that really hurt Tennessee, because now I think Ryan Tannehill gets exposed. I really do. I played with Mike Vrabel for 7 years in Pittsburgh. I understand his philosophy. Big back. We had Jerome when we were all playing together. So you could kind of hide the quarterback within the running game. But now that they don't have that, Ryan Tannehill is going to have to go out and win some football games. And I don't think a lot of people know this, but he's not – you know, he's not that good as a quarterback. He's not accurate. He's never been a passer. So with Derrick Henry being out, they could hide him within the running game. So Tennessee, with him going out, it kind of puts them, you know, at the bottom of the AFC South. But in the AFC, it's wide open. I really expect for the Baltimore Ravens to make a run. They have the defense to get it done. Obviously, Lamar Jackson, if he continues to improve and win football games, it can really be the Baltimore Ravens. I really believe that. But there's no clear team in the AFC right now that you can say, is a powerhouse. The Bills, I didn't understand that last week at all.
Can I ask you guys a question? You guys are both super talented Pro Bowl wide receivers, right? So let me give you my read on the Browns thing with Baker. I get that he's hurt. I get that they've had other issues, right? And I do think that guys genuinely like Baker, right? Because he always usually is about sticking up for his dudes and whatever. But there comes a point when If you can't play, you can't play, right? If you're not good enough, you're not good enough. And you can't fool dudes in that locker room. You can't fool real players because they know. Is that the point that we're at where he's kind of been exposed, or is there something? Because this was a weird week where his wife goes on Instagram to, you know, calling out the toughness of others, and he avoids the media. Like, it was a weird week. Plex, you give me your read. You've been in, you both of you guys have been in this position before. What's really going on in Cleveland?
Man, we talk about this almost every week. When we talk about the Cleveland Browns, it's Baker Mayfield. You can't fool anybody anymore. Baker Mayfield is not a franchise quarterback. We keep saying that. He has the same statistics as Gardner Minshew. I don't even think is Gardner Minshew on the NFL roster right now?
Yeah, he's with the Eagles.
He's a
backup. They have the same exact numbers. I know we see him on television and we see him on all these progressive commercials and all of that. The guys in that locker room know. He is not a franchise quarterback. So he's a good player. But he is not within, what do we say? He's not a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. Honestly, he's the first-round draft pick. Now, I get it. Number one draft pick. But as far as leading a franchise and contending for a world championship, he's not that guy. When Baker was drafted, I tweeted out, I said, congratulations, Cleveland Browns. You will have the number one pick 5 years from now.
Wow. He got one more. They got one more year.
Exactly.
You know what, Doug? It's like this. When his wife comes out and says what she said, that's pillow talk. That's him talking to her at home.
Right, right.
Telling her how banged up he is, what she knows, and how everybody else is being soft. All she's doing is repeating what he's told her, and now it don't look too good.
He didn't tell her that, that's the assumption that everybody makes. Oh, that's how Baker really thinks, right?
Your wife is not going to put that out there if y'all not talking about it. She's not doing that, and that entire locker room knows it.
Hey, with that being said, if Baker Mayfield and Matt Ryan swap teams, there will be nothing different. It will be the same exact results for both organizations.
Plax, what time's the food ready?
About 1:15-ish, 1 or 1:25, you know, somewhere around there.
All right.
Chef
Just
Burris.
Just ready, baby. Just get ready.
Peanut oil, right? You're doing peanut oil. That's the, when you're going to fry the turkey, it's always peanut oil.
Yeah, it got to be peanut oil. The vegetable oil and the canola oil is so thin that it will actually catch on fire. So you need more of a thicker base when you're frying turkeys and things of this nature at high temperatures. You know what? The vegetable oil and the canola oil, it do nothing but catch on fire.
Plax, happy Thanksgiving.
Chef Burris going to work, baby.
Happy Thanksgiving. Can't wait to hear you on Saturday and your breakdown of what's going on. Thanks for joining us, man.
All right, man. No problem.
All right, Plaxico Burris, of course, former Pro Bowl wide receiver. You can hear him on Up On Game with TJ and LeVar Arrington Saturday, Fox Sports Radio, noon to 2 Eastern time. And, of course, download that as a podcast as well. The Cowboys will be officially without two wide receivers today. Two. You already knew Amari Cooper was out. Who else is out? Find out next on The Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of The Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe.
From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Poppy.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner. Homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
TJ Espinzada, Doug Gottlieb, in for Dan the Danette, Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. Who is your favorite offensive coordinator you ever played for?
Wow. I would probably say I had my most success under him, so Bob Gronkowski.
Why? What was it about what he did, or did he just believe in you? What was it about Bob that allowed you to be so successful?
We called him Brat, Coach Brat. Honestly, I'm laughing. I wouldn't say initially he believed in me. I might have been forced to believe in me. But I learned a lot. And when I say I learned a lot, for people that don't understand, it's like when we were in Cincinnati, we would have to sit in meetings, the receivers with the offensive line and quarterbacks. And it used to be so boring, Doug, so boring. They're going over protections, and you look over, guys are on their phone, or they falling asleep. I would just take notes. And I didn't realize I was learning the protections, and I was learning football because I was just paying attention. And we would put plays in, and if it was one high, you would run it this way. If it was too high, you would run it this way. And too high could be cover four, cover two, cover six. So it would be different variations. And so I thought, oh, it's like this everywhere. I leave, I go to another team, and I'm like, hey, so on this play, if we get a too high look, but it's not cover two, it's quarters, how do you want us to run it? I'm like, oh, just get open. I was like, wait. If the quarterback is going to throw with anticipation, I can't just get open. He needs to know how I'm going to run it so he can throw with anticipation. If I'm just going to get open, he doesn't know what I'm going to do. And so we were very attention to detail. It probably didn't show as much as they gave it to us in Cincinnati, but I learned a ton of football from Brad. Protections, how to run routes, what to do, what not to do in certain situations. So, yeah, it would be Brad. And I'll tell you what, when I was in Cincinnati towards the end, I was a bit of a butthole. Just because you kind of get tired of the losing and you want to blame the coaches. I promise, this is a true story. When I left Cincinnati and I went to Seattle, I called Brad and I told him, I said, I want to apologize because you were so much better of a coach than I ever gave you credit for. Now that I'm not with you, I just want to let you know how much I learned from you and how great of a coach you are that I didn't realize when I was playing for you. I told him that.
Okay, so my next question would be, who's the worst offensive coordinator you've ever played for?
I wouldn't say I had a worse offensive coordinator.
Come on, man.
I really be honest, because, like, for instance, I played for, I'll go in order, I played for Greg Knapp, may he rest in peace, and then I played for Cam Cameron. And then technically it was Hugh and Al Saunders. Al Saunders' offense is very complicated. You can't be a dummy and play for Al Saunders. If you're a dummy, it's too tough. Cam Cameron, his run game, like, we had concepts in a run game that I had never seen. This was like my 10th year in the league. Like, certain concepts I had never seen when I got to Baltimore.
Like, give me an example.
Like, for instance, we'd be running the ball to the right. The tight end would just sprint to the flats like it was a pass play. Every team I've been on, that tight end was blocking. But he felt like if you sprint to the flats, you're going to draw a defender thinking it's a pass play. And I was like, I had never seen that before. A lot of teams do that now. They weren't doing that back then when I was playing. And so just his concepts in a run game, the passing game, it wasn't as nuanced as Cincinnati and even Seattle. Greg Knapp probably had the best playbook that I had ever. Like, he had so many great concepts, but he was a guy that liked to run a lot of screens. And Hugh Jackson, he was a coach that you want to play for because – I pretty much got my chance to play because of Hugh.
Right.
He came in there and said, I'm going to play the best guys. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, we're sitting in a meeting. Hugh Jackson walks in there. It was like 12 receivers. He's like, he named four of them. 1, 2, 3, 4. Pointed them out. You four are on the team. The rest of you eight are battling for two spots. I was like, whoa. No coach had ever told us that before. Like, he was so, you play bad? Hey, if you keep playing like this, you're not going to play. Or if you keep playing like this, you're not making a team. He was so honest that I appreciated the transparency. Black or white, no gray area with you. And that's what I liked about him. He's personable. He makes you want to play for him. But I told him, Hugh, they're not giving me a chance to play here. And that's why I said, with Brad, he probably was forced to play me. He was like, I'm playing the best guys. Peter Warwick breaks his leg against the New York Jets. I get a chance to play, and I was a starter for the rest of my career pretty much.
That's TJ Husbandzada joining us. I bring that up because Dez Bryant had some of the best moments of his career playing for the, obviously not just the Cowboys, but for Jason Garrett as their head coach and Jason Garrett as a play caller. Dez tweets out, after hearing the news about JG, that's Jason Garrett, Kadarius Toney, you will get to experience the love and joy for football throughout your career. When asked by one of his followers if he didn't like Garrett, he tweeted, great dude, never respected his philosophy towards players and the game. Translate that for me.
That's personal. When you say never respected his philosophy towards players, that seems a little personal. Like, his philosophy, did he not respect you? Did he make it seem like it wasn't the player, it was the X's and O's and not the Joes, so to speak? And when I saw that's how I took it. I don't believe Dez cares for Jason. It might be some underlying
things. How much of it is just that he cut him? Right, like Dez Bryant got cut when Jason Garrett was the coach, and it's like anybody who's ever lost a job or lost a job within a job, end of the day, the guy who makes the decision is the guy you're going to be bitter towards, right?
Really? And really, Doug? You really believe Jason Garrett made the decision to cut him, or Jerry Jones and those guys made the decision?
I don't know. But I can tell you that, like, Jason Garrett was viewed as like the other son to Jerry Jones, right? Like that's how everybody, like, man, you can't talk to Jason Garrett. He might as well be a Jones boy. So like, you blame everybody.
I believe there's some underlying disagreements that they may have had that we don't know about. But I don't believe Jason Garrett. I mean, yeah, he was the head coach when Dez Bryant was released. But when you look at it, it was Dez Bryant went on. He had from, like, I believe it was like 2012 to 2014, those 3 years, Dez Bryant was lights out. He was scoring and catching touchdowns, putting up big yards. And then after that, it was kind of hit or miss. He had 3 years in a row. I believe he had 1,000 yards. He didn't crack 1,000 yards again in and out of the lineup because of injuries. He just wasn't able to get back to that level. And it was 4 years of that. It wasn't like it was like, okay, you got 600 yards in 2015, 1,020. He never got close to 1,000 yards again. And it was 4 years after those 3 years where he really lit it up. I believe Jerry Jones got rid of him. But when you play for a head coach that's an offensive coordinator, I think these coaches sometimes don't understand, like, if you're a good coach, you're going to teach us the game. Now that I know the game, don't get mad at me for knowing the game that you taught me. And so when I voice my opinion, whether I should voice it or not, I'm voicing the philosophies that you taught me. And if I think what you're saying isn't correct, should I not voice that? Because these philosophies are coming from you and what you have taught me. And that's what happens. Coaches, they teach you the game. As soon as you question what you've been taught, oh, don't question me. Oh, I'm sorry. That's where I think it could be a disconnect. But Jason Garrett, was he not awful with New York? Oh my God.
They were terrible.
They were terrible.
How can you be that bad? How can they be that bad? How can you have dudes running into each other in the middle of the season?
And you know what's crazy? It's what they got dudes. Like, they have dudes on that team that their receiving core is really good player for player talent wise. They're really good. Saquon Barkley, you don't know what he is yet coming back from his injury. Daniel Jones has shown flashes. Doug, they're awful on offense, man. And can Freddie Kitchens come back with the magic that he had when they fired Hugh in Cleveland when he had Baker? If he does that, it's really going to make Jason Garrett look even worse. But the Giants were awful, and Dez Bryant just stated his opinion on Jason Garrett. If Freddie Kitchens turns us around, we got to look at Dez Bryant and say, oh, he's on to something.
Doug Gottlieb, TJ Hushmanzada in for Dan the Danettes. This is the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Dez went on and said, trash, I can't help people like to hear my thoughts about sports. I mean, dude did coach my entire career. Trust me, I'm not the only one who feels the same way about him. The difference between me and a lot of people is I don't sugarcoat-ish. Guys sacrificed a lot and get misused, right? So didn't feel like he was used. And he did have an outstanding career, like a Ring of Honor, not Hall of Fame caliber career.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search
to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft.
That's right. We will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and surprises.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year.
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for Season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.